Welcome to MedTech Insights Monthly Digital Health Roundup, where we talk about recent highlights of our coverage of the digital health space. I'm MedTech Insights Managing Editor Marion Webb, and with me today is our Washington-based Regulatory Manager Elizabeth Orr. Elizabeth, let's start with you.
Thanks, Marion. The biggest international story in the digital health space has been the progress of the AI Act in the European Union. The EU Parliament adopted the Act on March 13th, and it's expected to pass the Council of the EU, the final stage before implementation, soon. Once the Act goes into effect, developers of devices that make use of artificial intelligence will need to abide by risk-based restrictions on how the AI is deployed. Some methods that the EC feels create unacceptable risks will be blocked entirely, and conformity assessments will be required before most AI systems are put onto the market. It's clear that at least some medical devices will fall under the Act, and European trade groups have expressed a number of concerns as to what exactly it will mean for the industry.
What kind of concerns have they expressed?
Well, one of the big issues is that the AI Act doesn't explain how it will interact with the medical device regulation, and that leaves many manufacturers worried about lack of clarity, as well as the potential for duplicative or contradictory instructions. To address that concern, trade group MedTech Europe is asking that cross-industry regulation under the AI Act be aligned with industry-specific regulations such as the MDR. A recent white paper from MedTech Europe also calls for AI Act guidelines to be developed as swiftly as possible and with active input from device industry stakeholders, and for regulators to provide more clarity about a single conformity assessment procedure, as well as a clear pathway for clinical performance evaluation of medical technologies.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot still up in the air, right, Elizabeth?
Yeah, there is. And it's all riding on a new office called the AI Office. The office, which was created as part of a January innovation package, is going to oversee the AI Act's implementation. That includes everything from setting up EU-wide advisory bodies to ensure member states apply the regulations consistently, to drawing up guidelines, to investigating apparent violations of the Act. In general, the European Commission wants the office to encourage trustworthy AI innovation in the EU.
I understand that's the top regulatory digital health story for March, but I'm sure there's a lot else going on.
Yes, Change Healthcare, which is part of insurance company United Health Group, has been mostly offline since February 21st. That's left many smaller hospitals struggling with supply chain and finance issues, from billing to the pharmacy. And the latest estimates are that their systems won't be fully up until March 22nd, so just over a month.
And I seem to remember reading that this is the work of an organized hacking organization.
Indeed it is. Ransomware group Black Cat was named as the perpetrator on February 26th. That's interesting to us because Black Cat has been named in a number of healthcare hacks in the U.S., including that of dental supply company Henry Sheehan and electronic health records vendor NextGen Healthcare. One thing to know about Black Cat is that while it seems to be based in Russia, it's not a Russian state actor. The group uses a model known as ransomware as a service, which means they make the ransomware and then sell or rent it to bad actors.
Oh, that sounds like something everyone in the industry will need to keep an eye on.
Absolutely, and it ties into why the U.S. government has been so concerned with cybersecurity lately. In recent weeks, we've seen new cybersecurity goals from the Department of Health and Human Services, a pre-market cybersecurity guidance document from the FDA, and an executive order from President Biden ordering the U.S. Department of Justice to create a regulatory framework for data privacy, including sensitive health information. Additionally, the order calls on HHS, among other agencies, to help ensure that, quote, countries of concern can't access personal data. So there's plenty to keep an eye on both in the U.S. and in Europe. Now over to you, Marion. You recently attended the ViVE conference in Los Angeles, where you had the opportunity to sit down with Verily's Chief Scientific and Chief Medical Officer, Andrew Trister, to talk about his vision for the future of healthcare.
Yes, thanks, Elizabeth. This was my first time at the ViVE conference, which brings together leaders in health tech and healthcare to explore challenges and opportunities in healthcare. And this was also my first time to sit down with Dr. Andrew Trister, who joined Verily just 8 months ago as Chief Scientific Officer. And then he added Chief Medical Officer to his title just about 2 months ago.
Now, can you start by explaining what Verily does?
So Verily was formerly Google Life Sciences and is now Alphabet's research organization. And as the company puts it, it's leveraging artificial intelligence, data science, and cloud-based analytics to develop solutions for healthcare clients. So Dr. Trister, who previously worked at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation as Deputy Director of Digital Health and Artificial Intelligence, and before that was a founding member of the Apple Health team, wears a lot of hats. He's leading health initiatives such as the public health solutions to combat disease-carrying mosquito populations and a program to monitor wastewater treatment plants for pathogens. But he also consults across multiple projects that further the company's precision health strategy.
What does that mean, precision health?
So it's my understanding that that's the approach to bring together data from a wide range of sources. So think about, for instance, wearables like the Apple Watch or a Fitbit or a Smart Ring, as well as lab tests, diagnostics, and even social determinants, such as where you live and where you went to school. And all of that data will help you personalize how you can manage your health. And this is where the conversation got really interesting, because Dr. Trister envisions a future where we can bring together all of that data, a lot of which is siloed right now, to create what he calls your own AI agent that uses your own data to help you make health decisions. And he believes we will be able to do that in the next 5 years.
How would that work?
So the digital agent would have all this highly personalized data about you, right? And you can ask it questions like you would ask a health professional, and it would provide answers that are meaningful to you. He noted that a lot of doctors and nurses are facing burnout. And in the future, we are expected to see a rising shortage of health professionals, including nurses and physicians. So if you have a technology, say like a chatbot, that can answer health questions up front, just to give an example, so if you're going into a surgery, so you may use the chatbot to ask health questions about the surgery itself. It would provide education about what to expect during the surgery and maybe post-surgery. And this would all help relieve some of the burden that health professionals are facing right now by guiding patients in their care. Now, some of this is already done today, such as with diabetes patients who are using a virtual platform like Verily's OnDuo platform that allows them to track their glucose level trends over time, as well as provides education on healthier eating and exercise, and all of that, of course, helps manage their disease. He also pointed to the rising use of ambient listening technologies that are already being used in some health systems, such as during patient-provider visits. So what the technology does, it can literally listen to the conversation, of course, with the consent of the patient, and then create a clinical documentation that summarizes the visit and then puts that into the electronic health records. This, of course, saves the physician a lot of time in writing up these notes. And Dr. Trister believes that in the future, this will also be something that's made available to patients, which he said would be helpful. Let's say you have a conversation with your physician and don't remember, obviously, what the physician said. Now, this would serve as a reminder of the conversation, what was discussed, including instructions on medications or treatment or what to expect.
Wow, that sounds like a fascinating opportunity for both providers and for patients. I think that's it for this month. Thank you for inviting me on the show, Marion.
Thank you. And readers, of course, can learn a lot more details about my interview with Dr. Trister by going onto medtechinsight.com, as well as read up on the latest commercial and regulatory coverage. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Elizabeth, for contributing, and wishing everyone a great rest of your week. Thank you.